Hey everybody, it's W. Kamau Bell here. Today's episode is going to be a wrap-up just to talk about all the Spike Lee-ness that came out of our Spike Lee episode, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff about how it came together, and also what happened after, immediately after. We'll also talk about Spike Lee's Honorary Oscar acceptance speech. And again, check out Kevin Avery on Twitter, at Kevin Avery. Check out me on Twitter, at W. Kamau Bell. Check out the Denzelitz Twitter profile, at Denzelitz, D-E-N-Z-E-A-L-O-T-S, and go to Denzelitz.com. The Twitter profile is run by Liz Lazier, a.k.a. The Woman on Fire, and the Denzelitz.com is run by Igor, also known as The Russians, and also we have a Facebook page, so you can get at us in multiple ways. And anything else? Yes. Please remember to December 18th, the Roxy Theater in San Francisco. I'm hosting a screening of The Last Dragon featuring Tymok, a.k.a. Bruce Leroy from the movie. And we'll do have fun and ask questions. And, you know, other people will be going to Star Wars, but this cool, sexy people will be going to see The Last Dragon at the Roxy Theater. Peace.
Well, there you have it. Spike, we're here for you. Our partner, pioneer, phenomenon, prophet, pain. We love you. We're here for you. Sam?
Really?
Yeah, man. Go ahead.
All right. Spike Lee.
But first, you want anything you want to throw in?
Well, I want to say something, yeah.
Welcome to Denzel Washington is the Greatest Actor of All Time Period with W. Kamau Bell and Kevin Avery.
Did you, was I supposed to harmonize there?
I was waiting for you to come in with some old school Johnny Gill, which everybody loves when you do it over and over again when you tell the story of Johnny Gill, legend of Johnny Gill. I was waiting for you to come in with some like hip with some New Jack Swing funk on top of it.
Okay, first of all, Johnny Gill, not New Jack Swing.
As soon as I said it, I was like, he's going to correct me.
Crazy misconception. People say New Edition is New Jack Swing. New Edition, not New Jack Swing.
All right.
New Jack Swing is Guy and like Rex and Effect and
Montel
like
Jordan.
Today, Basic Black.
Montel Jordan.
By Montel Jordan, New Jack Swing was kind of... No, it's not. Montel Jordan, not New Jack Swing.
Okay, here's the thing, Kevin. The funny thing is I actively went out of my way to not insult you this time. I just did like a fun intro. And now, by starting the podcast, by correcting my incorrect New
don't
Jack Swing reference.
Don't make this about.
You just sort of
don't,
like,
don't become the persecuted one here, please.
I'm not saying I'm persecuted. I'm just saying that you've nerded yourself. Like, you totally like,
nerded? I'm just giving you the facts. I'm just giving you the real.
Okay. Thanks for the real. Welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Welcome.
This is Denzel Washington, the greatest actor of all time, period. With W. Kamau Bell and Kevin Avery, who won't let any slights to New Edition's history or incorrect facts go by uncorrected.
The people need to know.
The people need to know. Yeah, I guess we know what your next podcast is, and it certainly will be without me. the New Jack, correcting the legend of New Jack Swing.
Yeah.
But that was Denzel Washington.
Yeah. That's what we're really here to talk about.
Yeah. Denzel Washington's the greatest actor of all time, period. That was Denzel Washington at the ceremony presenting Spike Lee with the honorary Oscar. And the reason why we played it, because I just thought it was hilarious that, so there's three people who present, as you heard Spike talk in the last episode. This is the official follow-up to that episode. We have a lot to follow up on.
Mm-hmm.
So Wesley Snipes presents Denzel with the award, and we won't play the whole thing, but he does the whole thing in some sort of faux African character.
Yes.
Like, I kind of felt like Wesley actually was in the position of, like, I'm still auditioning for movies. I need to present.
Yeah, exactly.
In the same way that I read the ads with different character voices, he's like, I need to actually present a new side of myself to Hollywood so they can know.
Yeah.
I could have been in that concussion movie that Will Smith is in.
Wesley's like, there are going to be some industry in this audience.
There's going to be industry.
Spike Lee might be here.
That's the funny part about this. And that's how it comes off. Wesley went up there to be funny, and he clearly wrote a thing, and he practiced, I'm sure. And then Denzel goes up there and says, like, three sentences, like, basically delivers a haiku. Spike, we love you. You're the best. And then Sam Jackson is the one who you go, really? Like, he's like saying, that's all you're going to say about the dude who basically was key to your career? Yeah.
He speaks for 10 seconds, then throws to Sam Jackson, who's like, wait, what, now? You're not going
to? Sam Jackson clearly thought, I'm going to be waiting a while Denzel goes over. We met through Mo Better Blues. And then we collaborated on Malcolm X. And I remember the day that I did the speeches and I went off script and you said, and I told you, and then we did, and then later, and then we've tried to get sequels. Like, he thought he was going to give up. And Denzel was like, I don't got time for that.
Yeah. Denzel, the cool Denzel. Denzel's wearing what he was, a very similar outfit he wore at the Evening with Denzel thing, where he's got the jacket, he's got the black shirt and the black slacks, and then the very night, like these black sort of loafer.
But let's be clear about this. Samuel L. Jackson, suit and a tie, maybe a tuxedo, I don't remember. Wesley Snipes.
Tuxedo.
Tuxedo, full-on tuxedo. Denzel, like a tuxedo jacket, maybe, and a black shirt. A black t-shirt.
Yeah.
I'm not playing your game. I'm not playing your game.
Not at all. Not at all is he.
It doesn't excite me to get dressed up for nice occasions. I play dress up every day at work. I don't get excited. So I'm not. I mean, Sam Jackson dressed up.
And yeah, Sam in an all-black tuxedo.
Spike Lee is dressed up. Yeah, Wesley Snipes is like clearly, you know. And also, what a cool thing that Wesley Snipes was there, because you can sort of understand why it would be Sam Jackson and Denzel. But the fact that Spike had Wesley Snipes do it is also, Wesley Snipes is key to the beginning of Denzel's career, too. Jungle Fever, Mo Better Blues. He's also in Chirac, you know, so it's very clear that, he's, you know, game recognizes game. But I think it's funny. Denzel, I'm not putting on the whole suit. And I've had many conversations with Spike over the last 20 years about how great he is and how much I enjoy our work together. So I don't need to do it in front of y'all.
Y'all get it. Y'all understand.
You know, you get it. Wouldn't be here without him anyway. And then there's also a thing later where he interrupts Sam Jackson because they talk about Spike's importance to Hollywood and diversity. And and they say that Spike, and Denzel interrupts, say Spike has hired more black people in Hollywood than any other director in the history of Hollywood. And then he goes, don't call me Tyler Perry.
Which
I was like, at first I was like, does he mean like, don't call me to be in a movie? But I was like, oh no, he means don't call me and claim that he's hired more black people than Spike Lee has, which may or may not be true, but it's also not relevant to the fact that Spike Lee was there well before Tyler Perry.
This is, what's cool about this is that Spike was telling us about this before it actually happened.
Yes.
And, before we jump back into this, let's talk about, first of all, you guys, very receptive. We are glad to see that you enjoyed the Spike Lee episode. Your responses to that on Twitter have been overwhelming and pretty awesome. And so we're glad you loved it as much as we did, because we had the time of our lives.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because Liz Lazier, our woman on fire who runs at Denzel, it's on Twitter. She sent me a list of things that had gone over the past week, as she always does. Like, here's things you guys might want to bring up in the podcast. And there was no mention of the Spike Lee episode. And later I was like, oh, nobody reacted to Spike Lee, which I was kidding. And she was like, it was basically like, no, there was so much reaction, she didn't feel like she needed to tell me.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was insane. We were so excited to put that episode out.
And it was also the AV Club named it in their pod, the weekly Podmas, is one of the best podcast episodes of the week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That just happened while I was sitting here. I just saw it.
Oh, that's very awesome.
Yeah, so.
So that was a crazy day. Do you want to talk about how it just kind of what happened? Because.
Yeah, it was as we said, at Genesia F, Genesia Francis. On Twitter is the one who sent me I put my email address. I have an email address on Twitter, and it's really helped out for people to reach me, because it's so many times people are like, I emailed you on Facebook. I'm not checking Facebook. Yeah. So people are able to get to me directly, and it goes right to my phone. And so she emailed me out of the blue saying that she had talked to Spike about our podcast before and that he was curious. And then she talked to him again when we did the Ava DuVernay episode, and he's like got more curious, and that's when he said give him my address, and then it was my job to, and I sent Kevin an email. Just so you know, I'm about to write an email to Spike Lee. Yeah. And then it's one of those emails that you take like 45 minutes to write a like a 5-line email.
Of course. It becomes an opus.
Yeah, but you also don't want it to be an opus. You don't want it to be like, when I was 17, I remember I was lost and I didn't have a definition of who I was as a black. Mm-hmm. And, like, you try to keep it short, but also keep it long enough that he actually understands that I understand his time is valuable and we're not going to trifle with it. Yeah. And, you know, I think I sent it off and after I waited 45 minutes and within like a half hour after I sent it, he had responded back like, his was funny. He goes, can we do it today?
That's right.
And I was like, I'm in Berkeley. Kevin's in New York. I don't think we can pull this together. Kevin's working on last week. And I was like, and it was one of the things for a little bit. I was like, if I say no, what if that's it? What if it's just disappears into the ether of Spike Lee-ness, which I understand that when you're that level of busy and famousness that things can disappear. And he's also got a movie coming out. So I very softly was like, Mondays or Tuesdays work best. But if we need to move things around, like I remember emailing you guys, everybody at Earwolf, like, can we do Sunday? Can we do Sunday morning? Can we do Sunday at midnight? Like trying to make sure we had all the times available for him that we had. And luckily people were like, just tell him Monday or Tuesday.
It was like you were trying to get him a flurry of dates and times.
I just didn't want to, I didn't want to be like, oh, I can do every time except that time. Never mind. Or that thing where you send an email, you don't hear back forever. So I was just like, so Monday or Tuesday? And he was like, Monday, bet. Like, it was very, all his emails were bet, do it. Good.
I would imagine that Spike writes emails and texts in the same way that, like, Dwayne Kennedy writes emails and texts. Like how he sounds.
Yes.
He writes how he talks and very abrupt and clipped. I don't know that Spike Lee does things in all caps.
No, they weren't. Like they, I can say, does. I can, I don't think I'm divulging anything inappropriate by saying they were not in all caps.
Okay.
He did not go the Dwayne Kennedy all caps direction.
All right. Good to know. So we settled on our date and he showed up. Well.
Well, yeah. So he goes, it was going to be Monday at 3:30. And so I was in New York doing something for CNN. And so it worked out great. I'm like, cool. I'll be in New York. I can go do the thing I have to do for CNN, then show up and go to the Spike Lee taping at 3:30. And then I think I had an appearance at CNN scheduled that night on Don Lemon's show. And I was like, well,
yes, you did.
It'll all work out.
Yes, you did.
It'll all work out good. And which I just agreed to that morning. I was like, while you're here, you want to do that? I was like, I guess I can do that.
This will be relevant later.
Yeah. So, Easter egg or what? Sort of foreshadowing. So, so we get there. I think I was like, Kevin, we got to make sure we get there before 3:30. We get there like, so we're not like walking in at 3:35 and he's sitting there staring at us.
Hey, Spike.
So we get there early. We both have our computers open and our notes and our questions and like really prepared to do a real, like we've done, I mean, we've interviewed a lot of people, but this was like, very similar. Like, we got to make sure we're on point because there's a lot of questions to ask and a lot of easy questions that you missed that you want to go, I can't believe we didn't ask that one question.
Mm-hmm.
So we show up and all of a sudden, and then somebody says to me like, so is Spike all set to come today? And I realized I hadn't talked to him that day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the thing you do, well, see you later today. Like, I just had forgot. I just didn't think to do that because I'm not used to being a booker, but of course that's what you have to do, especially if somebody's busy as Spike Lee. Just go check in and go, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, shoot, at this point it's like 3:25. Like I'm like, oh, this could be bad. You're like, this could. So I sent an email.
You mentioned it to me. You did say, you know, I haven't talked to him. I wonder. And that was the first time I was like, oh no, is this going
to
be?
Yeah, I forgot that's the thing you do just to find if anything changes, especially with super busy people.
Yeah,
which people do to me all the time, and I just not used to being that person who has to do that. So. Mm-hmm. So I sent an email like, hey, man, so we'll see you in a little bit. You know, the fake email that's like, just to remind you where the address is, because you probably, you know. Even though I'd already given it to him. And he goes, 5:30. Like, what?
Are you saying that you'll be here at 5:30 today? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yep. And then I tell Kevin and John, and I'm like, 5:30, everybody.
Yeah, this is going to be... Hope, we're going to sit here.
Hope nobody else.
So we sat there and,
we had two hours of prep time, which is good, which worked out fine. But, yeah, it was just one of those things like, that's the level of that. And for anybody who's like, that's no, why would you do that? That's the level. There's a certain level of success. And this is true across fields. It's not just show business where your schedule is your schedule. And your schedule only doesn't get to be your schedule if you're dealing with somebody who's more powerful than you.
Yeah.
And when you're Spike Lee, generally you're dealing with people on the same level or below. So generally your schedule gets to be your schedule. So you get to go, no, I don't want to do that now. I'll do it 3 weeks from now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like, and because our podcast is certainly at a level below him, it's just a thing where it's an expectation where you can move around for me if you want me to be on there. Yes, we can. So I was just happy to know that there weren't other – I mean, there could have been something else being recorded in Earwolf that day, or there could have mm-hmm. been – all sorts of things.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, these studios don't stay open all night.
Yeah.
We're not doing this in our garage or in our apartment or anything like that. We're, you know, so it was kind of like, oh, what does this mean for all of us? But he had a good reason, though.
Yeah.
For, you know.
Yeah, he was.
A very cool reason for not being here at 3:30.
Yeah, he was putting on the finishing touches of Chirac.
Yeah.
He was
kind
in the edit
bay. Priority.
Yeah. Edit bay. Of finishing up Chirac. So it's like, what are you going to say? No?
Yeah.
So when people, when people go see Chirac, they go, that's weird. All the colors are a little bit off. Because Spike Lee had to do Kevin and Kamau's Denzel podcast.
Yeah.
They couldn't finish the color correcting.
Do you imagine that was special thanks to Kevin and Kamau, who did not allow for me to finish the color correcting on my film.
Yeah.
But that's also relevant because, so we do the podcast. You heard it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. He was great. It was very weird for me because it started off going down basketball and sports talk lane.
Did it?
And that's I funny. Was like, uh-oh, I don't...
When did it? Oh, because we were talking about Jordan.
Just early on. Both of you are big sports fans.
I'm conversant in all sports. I'm sort of like NBA, I'm fluent in NBA. Mm-hmm. I don't speak it as well as I used to, but I'm fluent in NBA because of Michael Jordan. But then like I can get by in NFL and baseball. I know how to say, how do I go to the bathroom? Like, I know how to say,
do you know where the library
is in baseball? Yeah,
exactly.
But NFL, I can get by. I can stumble around. But yeah, so mm-hmm. we ended up there's a lot of basketball metaphors about Denzel, Michael Jordan, Oscar Robertson. Yeah, the Oscar Robertson is probably where you went. Uh-oh.
That was exactly that. I was like, oh no. How long is this going to last? I am in trouble here.
Yeah.
I'm in unpredictable waters. But it turned out great. Here's the fun part, one of the really fun and unexpected parts of this whole evening. So we do the whole podcast, and I mean, was there a part where, just quickly before we go to the other part of this story, was there a part during the interview where you were just freaking the hell out and didn't know? You seem very like you were right in down interview mode lane.
Well, I was just aware of the fact that, like, there's two things I'm worried about. One, that the people – I was sort of thinking about from the listener standpoint of, like, there's questions we've talked about through the history of this podcast mm-hmm. that if we don't at least try to have him answer those questions, people are going to be like, how could you not ask him about the one-on-one game with Ray Allen? Even though I know that's been covered in other media, but we mm-hmm. just – it's like there was things about getting it from the horse's mouth. So I was like
– yes.
Like, we had talked about – we had heard, and we've talked about this before, I think, on the podcast, about Denzel going off script for Malcolm X. But uh-huh. it's felt like – and Spike brought that part up himself. He sort of knows if we're going to talk Denzel here, the greatest hits. But it just felt like there are certain questions. Like, that's why I asked the super dumb question about Denzel coughing. Because we've talked about it.
Like yes.
Dozens
but
of times.
But here's the thing. That, to me, was just as great as him –
yeah,
breaking it down like him going, okay, y'all. I love Denzel. Yeah, that was one of my favorite moments in the podcast where we're like, wow, we've gone too far even for Spike Lee.
Well, I think is good that he took it in good humor because he could have.
Yeah.
And it happened probably like half like we were halfway through the thing, so it wasn't like we started off with that question. We're here to talk about Denzel's coughing. What is the strategy on?
Yes.
And so I was happy. I knew that. So I was definitely like, and especially with Spike, he was so excited, like so having such a good time and so talkative. I was also aware that like, if we don't want to end this thing and go, oh, too bad we didn't talk about, he got game. Anyway, next time.
Yes. Yeah, right.
You know, I just knew that like,
we have to
make sure that, I just felt like for the sake of the fans and me as a fan, I want mm-hmm. to sort of hit the big topic. So yeah, I was certainly like, certainly want to make sure that, because he could have talked, I mean, he just could have kept going about all sorts of things, and it felt like we wanted to make sure we at least hit all the movies and, you know, hit, sort of gave each one of the movies a little bit. We could have done a whole episode with him about all those movies and mm-hmm. then made sure for his sake that we got Chirac in there, because you don't also want him to go, that was great, except I didn't get to promote my movie that's coming
out. But walk away angry with us. But so, yeah, let's talk about Chirac because we got a special treat at the end of the day. I don't think we really expect—he, I guess he kind of mentioned this early on. You know, he was
he sort of
going
dropped
to
it
have
in
a—
passing.
Yeah, so basically, his plan was to leave our podcast and go to a screening of Chirac. That's what we—that's essentially what we were, what was communicated to us. And we finished the podcast. We're like, wow, how could this get any better? And then he basically is like, so y'all want to, because a lot of times people will say that, will be like, will invite, he invited us earlier in the day. And a lot of times people will say that. And then you're like, I sure hope you're, you don't want to say, so you're when still cool with us coming with you to the thing.
When are we going to that screening?
Yeah, you don't want to say that in case he's changed his mind or he forgot about it or he just, you don't want to press a person for that. Mm-hmm. But he, right away, after the thing, was like, so y'all want to see the movie? Well, of course we want to see the movie.
Yeah, it was just like, and then I was like, in my mind, it's a screening where I'm like, oh, we're going to go to like, we're going to go to like there's some sort of weird premiere or sometimes there's a sort of smaller thing that are in, where it's like you go there and it's like, you know, those weird things where you're like, oh, that's weird that Chris Rock is here too. Like, it's some sort of weird, I'm showing my friends or some sort of like, oh, yeah, there's a benefit tonight. We're showing Chirac and you can come and sit in the back.
Yeah.
And it'll be a press thing and the New York Post and the New York Times are going to be there. Like, some sort of
and
like.
We've been to a lot of those things. And so that was, you know, the thingy. But before we even get there, first of all, it was just, I think I went through this moment of like, all right, well, let's get the address and I guess I'll hop in the, you know. I guess
we'll figure out
the train
how to get
over
there
and da da da. And he was like, yeah, let's just get in the car downstairs. And there was this, the next thing you know, we're sitting next to each other in the back. And I don't know whose car it was. It just felt like we were in his car because
it was clearly like a dude who either works for Spike and either is his driver or just works for him and he happened to be driving. Like, it was like a dude who was like, they were talking very conversantly and the guy was very nice to us. And it was that thing where we're like, yeah, you get in the car and you're like, oh, we're okay. Like, the funny thing was for me, it was like, I needed to come down from the interviewing Spike.
Mm-hmm.
And it was suddenly we were like, we're doing more.
No room for that. Get in the back seat. I was just like, what? At one point, I think I turned to you and I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, we're sitting in the back of this man's car, riding to go see to this screening, see his film. And we get there and we go upstairs to the thing and it's in the, to this screening room.
It's like everything in New York and Manhattan. It's in a nondescript office building.
It's near like a bank. And I just remember we walk in and it's, it was me and then I think Spike was right behind me and then you. Yeah. And we walk in and the first thing I see, there's a person back there kind of running essentially the projector or the whatever it is.
Yeah. And, I don't think it's a projector at this point, but yes.
Yeah, it's not, but yeah. But there's a woman running the thing. And it's already rolling. Now, I haven't looked at the audience. Mm-hmm. I just see the screen and then I turn back and look at the woman and Spike's like, oh, stop. And she says, and she goes, no, we're just getting ready for everybody. And then I realize there's, the audience hasn't shown up. And I'm like, well, are we?
And also that the room is much smaller than we were. It's not a, it's an edit. It's like an edit bay with a screen. It's like a screening room with an editing dock in it. So it's like really the room for people to screen a film who are like, cut that part, make that color brighter. It's like a workroom.
It's still a big room where you could,
it's basically like if you had a really nice at-home theater in your house.
Yes. Like, so, but except that.
Like big comfortable couches and,
So she says, we're getting ready for the group. And then I look and there's no one's there yet. And before I could say anything, I don't know what I was going to say. Like, what's with the turnout? He goes, this is it. And then all the air left my body because I suddenly realized, the screening we're going to is just Spike Lee and us. It was just Spike, me, and Kamau watching Spike's movie.
Yeah.
And then someone ushered us over to some, here, have a seat. And we're sitting on some couches.
Yeah.
And somebody wheels in a tray of hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
And I also had this moment where I looked, before the food even showed, I was like, why are there plates and wine glasses here? And then I look, and I just hear Spike going, you like red or white? Me and come out with like, red. Like,
grape? I mean red?
Yes. Me too.
Purple drink?
It was just us and Spike Lee watching this movie together.
Yes, and we and Spike sat in the back, and we it was like me and you were sitting next to each other, and they were all sitting behind us. So it was really like we were the two people watching it. Yes. And it was at that moment that I was like, I thought this before. I was like, I'm supposed to go do CNN in like an hour and a half. I have a feeling this movie isn't an hour long. And I proceeded to do the shittiest thing, just that shit. Like, I'm on my phone trying to get out of the CNN thing.
Yeah.
With my agent, with CNN, trying to also go, because here's the thing. Screening, being shown a two-person screening of Chirac by Spike Lee before the movie comes out is a way bigger deal. There's just this weird thing about career stuff that's important, but also just life stuff. Like, as a life moment, that's going to be a story I tell for the rest of my life. And also, it also means something to me as a person, as both of us. People who've sort of like, you know, we've talked about this before. I coming out of San Francisco, nobody's like, those two dudes are the dudes who are, you know, we were just sort of figuring it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not to say that we, you know, but we were just these dudes who are like, we're doing comedy. We're trying to figure our way through this. We're da-da-da. Maybe we feel like maybe we've been overlooked. Maybe we need to figure out a new way. So you write a short film. I do my solo show. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're dudes who are like, to sort of get to the place of like, this is where we're at now?
Yeah.
I felt like, for me, it was like, I feel like I'm supposed to honor this moment by sitting here. Like, I'm not supposed to like, tear out of here and go across town to do a segment on CNN. Like, nothing against CNN, but like, that segment on CNN is not going to be a segment I talk about for the rest of my life unless something really bad happens. And that's when Don Lemon smacked me across the face and told me to get my bitch ass out of here.
Dude, the whole I was watching, there were two movies going on at that moment. There was Chirac, and then there was the movie playing out in front of me.
The light from my cell phone.
Trying to watch. Yeah. Holy crap.
Dun, 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 dun. And there, at that point, too, where people are like, nah, you still got to come. Nah, you still got to come. You just want to be like, oh, I can just be like, never mind. I quit. What? Everything? All of it? Never mind. I'm good.
Yeah.
You guys take care. What do you mean? The segment? No, the whole show? Everything? Nothing. I'm done. This is more like it just felt like because I also felt like how am I gonna show up at the black people meeting talking about I left Chirac early? Like, oh god.
Yeah.
Woo. And so I gotta be honest, people. I buckled and left because I just felt like I had to. I should have just not agreed to the CNN thing earlier that day, but I had no idea.
Well, how could you have known?
I knew that it was on me. It wasn't like anybody. I did it to myself. This isn't really Matt Whitlocking it. Matt Whitlock would have figured out how to stay and watch Chirac, but I sort of so I didn't Matt Whitlock it. I reversed Matt Whitlocked it. I did what I was supposed to do and took the consequences of my actions instead of like Matt Whitlocking my way out of it. I was trying to Matt Whitlock my way out. I was on my phone with one finger and one thumb trying to go, but Spike Lee, Chirac, two-person screening. We are drinking wine and eating cheese and nuts. Dude, I've never heard of before.
You can't beat that.
No, and so
you can't
I left.
Beat that.
So just
no, you okay? First, before you left, this is what happened. We're sitting there, we're watching the movie, and then suddenly, just in the darkness, Kamau leans over to me and goes, "I have to go."
Yeah, because very last possible. Like I kept going, maybe this is one of those short Spike Lee short films. I kept waiting. I was like hoping that somehow, because I just wanted to see all of it. And then I was hoping it would end. I'd be able to tear out of there. But it was clear like, nah, we're just starting act three right now. Like a proper movie.
Well, I'll tell you this. You missed the doozy.
Yeah.
And luckily for you, Spike did not glare at you I don't know. I didn't see what happened when you went and said goodbye to Spike.
When I say goodbye to him, he gave me a look like, I mean, and maybe I'm wrong, but I was afraid he was going to be like, I'm afraid I was going to get some do the right thing. But he was like, all right, man. Like, I felt like he got, I felt, you know, I, there wasn't any sort of, I was really nervous that he was going to be like, also, could you give me the copy of the podcast that has you talking on it? Because I don't want to be associated with you fake-ass Negroes who can't stay to watch Chirac, an important movie about a tragedy going on in Chicago where I'm trying to bring some
clarity to it and also bring some perspective to it. But anyway, you go do that 5-minute segment on the on CNN, brother. He didn't. There wasn't that. Now maybe he was thinking that, but he was nice enough not to put that on me as I walked out the door with my head down and kicking my heels, like I can't believe I'm leaving this right now.
Well, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I get it. But you know, you can go see it again. It's coming out December 4th, and we would encourage everybody to go see the movie. It's great. I'm looking at a review from Variety, and they're calling it his most vital movie in years. They refer to it as a sprawling, blistering State of the Union address. And it's Spike
like,
Lee.
It feels very like that Denzel era of Spike Lee, and even earlier than that. Like it feels like this could have come out between School Days and Do the Right Thing. Like it feels very like it's very hip hop. It's a very hip hop movie, literally. And like they talk in verse. It's filled with lots of colorful characters, literally and figuratively. Yeah. It's got a, you know, I know there's a lot of feelings about it. We talked about this in the podcast. A lot of people are worried that Spike Lee is somehow going to make that situation worse, or that he's mocking it. He's certainly not mocking the situation or making light of it. He certainly has tried to bring... John Cusack is amazing in it, from what I saw.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets bad in the last half hour, but the first hour of it, he's amazing. But
no, I mean, he's great.
He plays this minister based on a real character, who this white guy who's really... you know, and the woman... Who's the woman who stars in it?
Teyonah Parris.
She is a force to look out for. Like, that she... I mean, she holds up the movie. It's like we talk about working black actresses on this show, and she, whatever you think about the movie, welcome her to the party, and there, hopefully she will be invited to more things if Regina King doesn't take every acting job in Hollywood.
Yeah, right.
But she is certainly, and that's why we need to create more jobs. Like, she certainly is somebody where you're like, oh, well, welcome. Like, yeah, there's a seat for you right at the table. Mm-hmm. I'll get up. You can have my seat.
Yeah. And
Nick Cannon,
you know, so
just go.
Nick Cannon is great.
Just try to just, whether, I know there's a lot of complicated feelings about who's in the movie, who shouldn't be in the movie, what the movie's about, why is it not more hard edge, why is Spike, but just, and you may not like it, but I certainly say it's worth seeing in a crowded field of like, should I go see the Hunger Games Part 2, Episode 6, you know, whatever it is. This is just a more hearty meal than those other things, and in classic Spike Lee, it's not didactic. It's entertaining, and that's what I think people are sort of, that maybe even bothers some people, is that why are you going to make that entertaining? Because that's what makes the medicine go down. As Do the Right Thing was entertaining, as School Days was entertaining, you know, as you know, hell, even Malcolm X was entertaining. You like there's the big scenes of them dancing and doing all the dance, the Lindy Hop from back in the day, that helps for some people go down when he goes, we need to kill all the white people. I'm sorry, I'm quoting Paul Mooney now. That's not what Malcolm X said.
Jesus Christ.
But anyway.
Diva.
So go see the movie. December 4th comes out. Let's just really quickly though, and we're not going to roll this whole thing because it's, you know, pretty much, you know, 17 minutes long, but we want to play a little bit of this clip from, when Spike Lee got his honorary award. You know, we would encourage you all to make this clip here, Black People Homework, go watch that and, see the man win the honorary award at the 2015 Governor's Ball. But here's a bit of this clip right quick.
And I want to commend the President Sherrod Boone Isaacs because she's trying to do something that needs to be done. I don't know if you noticed, but the United States Census Bureau says by the year 2043, white Americans are going to be a minority in this country. And for all the people out there who are in position of hiring, you better get smart because your workforce should reflect what this country looks about, what this country looks like. And I'm gonna get real here. Everybody in here probably voted for Obama. But when I go to offices, I see no black folks, except brother man at the security guard who checks my name off the list as I go into the studio. So we could talk, you know, yabba, 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 but we need to have some serious discussion about diversity and get some flavor up in this. This industry is so behind sports, it's ridiculous. It's easier to be the President of the United States as a black person than be the head of studio. Honest. It's easier to be the President of the United States than to be head of a studio or head of a network. Let's leave Oprah out of it. She doesn't count. So, President, keep it going. I know it's tough, but we've got a long way to go. Peace and love to people in France. And my last thing is Brooklyn in the house. Brooklyn's in the house. Thank you very much.
There you go.
I mean, Kevin, I feel like I'm not going to take any credit, but it's funny that we had that whole thing here with Spike in studio talking about Denzel and Malcolm X and channeling the spirits, mm-hmm. and he went up there spitting hot fire, to quote Spike
Lee. Yeah. Yeah.
Fire.
I think we could take a little bit of credit.
I mean, I don't want to take yours. And also, Cheryl Boone Isaacs, we'd love to have you on the show.
Love to have you.
We'd love to have you on the show. Spike loves you. We love you. The first black and female president. I don't know if she's the first female president, first black president of the Academy of Arts and Sciences. And Spike Lee spitting hot fire. And here's the thing. We would have probably talked about that if he hadn't been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on the show, Kevin.
He was on the show. Remember when he was on the show?
I remember when he was on the show.
Oh, my God. That was so great.
It was great.
Wasn't that crazy when he was on the show?
All that to say, everybody. This comes out on Thanksgiving. This one we want to say happy Thanksgiving, and also thank you to all the Denzelites out there. We probably have some new ones coming on because of Spike Lee, but we got some old school Denzelites to go back all the way to episode zero.
Episode zero.
That's right. So, and we appreciate you. We appreciate you out there. Please continue listening. Now that in the first year we got Ava DuVernay on. Spike is basically year two, sort of, but the end of first year we got Spike Lee on. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who've reached out to us who want to be on the show, and we'll tell you as we confirm them. But it's all because of you guys, and you got your excitement around it, and you're listening to it, and talking about it, and tweeting about it, and tweeting at people about it. We're gonna get Inside Man 2 greenlit before it's all over. Thank you guys.
Thank you very much, and happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you soon.
They tricked me. Earwolf did a prank on me. Hi, I'm Sean Clements. I do Hollywood Handbook. I'm one of the two hosts, and Hayes Davenport is probably the host you would like better, but I'm who's here today. Anyway, I made a promise to anyone who listened to one of these little inserts that they would not attach a clip of Hollywood Handbook because, of course, I think that it's actually kind of filthy and dirty for Earwolf to just take someone who is trying to listen to one show and force them to listen to a piece of another show. I just don't think that's... I didn't want them to put a clip in. I guess what I've learned is they did attach a clip, and that I guess it was super funny and it made people want to check out the show because they picked like a really great part from one of our episodes. I wish they hadn't done that. They've promised to let me come in, correct the mistake by just saying we're never doing it again. And now when I stop talking, you're not going to hear a clip from Hollywood Handbook. You're just going to go either back to your show or you go listen to something else. If you decide to check us out because it's what you want, that's fine, but you're not going to get forced to listen to us. Bye.
Laos is where sriracha comes from, which is something that a lot of people haven't heard of yet, but I go wild for that stuff.
I put it in oatmeal. I put it on hot dogs.
I'll put it on eggs.
I put it in cherry pie. I put it on a fish. And I literally will eat it.
Eat the whole thing.
I will eat the whole thing after I put sriracha on it. After I put sriracha on it.
Hollywood
Pop.
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 This has been a Wolf Pop production. Executive produced by Paul Scheer, Adam Sachs, Chris Bannon, and Matt Gourley. For more information and content, visit wolfpop.com.